Hi, I'm Ken Carroll. These recordings are provided by ChinesePod.com.
This is a Learning 2.08 conference podcast. This and all conference conversations recorded live in September 2008.
The basic model. But then none of the extras.
Right.
But StudyWiz has so much more than Blackboard, even with that sort of
assessments again? I mean, assessing?
Yep, assessments. It's got assessments, so with your homeworks and things.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing with Blackboard, I believe you have to download your homeworks one by one.
When the students are handing
their homework to a homework assignment,
mm-hmm.
as a teacher, you have to download them, mark them, and upload them one by one.
Oh yeah. Well, you can download them at once, but then you have to assess them. Then you have to upload them one by one if you're going to give feedback back.
Yeah. Well, the study was you download them,
right?
Bulk download, and then you, as you mark them, and then it uploads back.
So if I were on a tablet system, I'd have the kids, I just click on it, assess it, save it, upload it, or...
You just save it and it will upload and add
it
the grades to the system. Yeah. Yeah, so the workflow.
Is there a place like I can immediately put in the assessment? Are you going to show it?
One of the biggest sort of benefits of StudyWiz is just the ease of use and the friendly interface. And again, because we constantly upgrade it, it's got a web 2 look and feel now. So it's the internet is exceedingly slow. I've almost given up running people through the system. It's almost easier to talk about it. Another issue with sort of things like Moodle, I think, is it takes a lot of effort on the back end to support it, to keep it sort of, if you want to change things, you've got to do it yourself. Whereas StudyWiz is fully supported from outside. So maybe you've got to set up in a very sort of standard manner, where it's very simple, I don't know, but you have to, you yourself, have a team that look after Moodle.
So, you have to have someone's
time and effort in the school. And often, with a lot of schools that use Moodle, it's the math or the science teacher or the technology teacher who takes it upon themselves in their afternoons or evenings or weekends to keep the system up and running. With StudyWiz, it's all supported from the back end, so we basically have a pathway into your school, into this, and keep it updated, put in the upgrades,
and monitor the system.
The server sits in the school? Service sits in the school, and the DMZ, so you're using your intranet when you're in school, and you can access it from outside the school through the internet. So this is a site, see it on the site, it's already personalised to the individual user. Things like the calendar's personalised by, if I'm an art teacher for year 9A, I can create a calendar for year 9A students that will slip into the calendar. It's actually not going too slow. That's because there's no sessions going on. So you've got all these different calendars that a student belongs to or a teacher belongs to, and they feature as one calendar on the system itself.
So how do you get that? I mean, is that an easy upload if you have a school calendar and you just put the
You just press import and
bring it in.
So it's up to you if you want to use this as your primary. A lot of it's about protocol and sort of deciding what's going to be the most important thing that you use. Other things like your messaging system. With the messaging, because it's all linked to your SMS, your student management system, all the relationships are there, so when I go and create a new message, one of the things StudyWiz does, it takes away any responsibility of the teacher to set things up, but it gives the things that teachers need control over, that control in the classroom. So if I'm a teacher now, a student's misusing their messaging service, I can go in on the fly and turn off their capacity to email each other.
Mm.
So they can only message a teacher to student, but not student to student. When I create a message service, I can just go to Business Studies 9A. And filter by parent, by teacher, by student. So just simple things like trying to send a message out to parents becomes very easy, because you're not having to worry about, with email you've got to set up smart folders, and when kids leave class or join classes, then you've got to find out who the parents are and back it all up. With this, you just because it's linked to your SMS, as soon as the student management system's changed, it will sync up with this, and you can you've got all the information for all the parents of the kids in the class. So it was really, though, is about making it very easy for all kinds of students to access the resources. When I make a resource for a student, it goes onto their latest activities list. So I don't have, the student doesn't have to go looking for resources, they're pushed right to their front page. Everything's relevant to the student, so it's not like you're not going to get piles and piles of extraneous information. When we bring up latest resources, we have a big list of all the resources we go to.
So you mean that this is a student who, it's the last post for their, or updates for their last, if one teacher doesn't ever post those, it's just the ones who've just posted.
It's just the teachers who are relevant to that student.
Students
so it's
just
a, say if I'm in nine, a year 9 student, I'll have resources pushed out from Science 9A,
okay.
English 9A, or whichever
class. Just their classes.
Yeah. As well as being able to receiving resources through latest resources, however, you can also go into the class itself. So if you're organised sort of folder-based students, they can go into their science class itself.
Now, if I had 5 sections of the same class, I see 7A, 7B, 7C, can you post to all 3 classes at once, or do I have to...
This is the Science 9A folder. It's just excruciatingly slow.
Yeah, you can talk about
but,
it.
Okay, this is the landing page. So one click from the front page, you've got your subject landing page. So on the right here, you've got an information page that is simply a text editing page that you add here. So just by pressing this, I go to a text editor and I can create a very rich page. So I can just cut and paste from a Word document or put in a PowerPoint or something, very simple. With the new sort of one coming out to you, you can embed PDFs and things, so you can create content outside and then just put it straight in. Any teacher can do it if they can use a Word document. And then we can shuffle them up and down. So when students land on it, they can get a curriculum overview, or they can get some key information that will get them excited about the subject. As we scroll down, we've got student progress and things, so we can see all of their test results, their assignment results by student or by class or by resource type. So we can go and see how the students are doing at the end of the year. We can go just pick on a kid and have a look at all of the assignments they've done over the year, the grade they've got, and the comments I've given them, and write reports accordingly. The core area is the content areas itself. Here we have folders, so I can make an individual folder for one student, I can make a team folder. But more importantly, I can create a folder for multiple classes. So when I make a folder here, 9A, I can also assign it to 9B, C, and D. And every time I make a resource in that folder, it will automatically populate the other classes. So I'm just doing things once. Everything too, everyone gets, I mentioned the e-lockers earlier, and the shared e-lockers. Everything in StudyWiz can be imported and exported to and from the e-locker. So if I make a whole year's worth of curriculum for 9A, I can export that folder with all the content published to the share e-locker for Science 9A. And then any other teacher can go in there and with one click, import it and distribute it to the whole class, and it's all set up for the whole year. So its workflow couldn't possibly be any sort of easier to manage than that. And again, the system's designed for to be school-wide deployments, so that every teacher, even if they're scared of technology, can engage with the resource. I've done quite a lot of PD for StudyWiz in Asia Pacific, and it's amazing how, after even just 2 or 3 hours of training, even teachers who've never used computers in the classroom can get up and make some of the simpler resources and the simpler content in the system, and very quickly become not scared of the system and what it can do. With Moodle, do you find is it kind of pervasive throughout the school?
Yeah.
Or is it like pockets or?
No, the high school has really taken it on board big time. Middle schools come on board this year, and I suppose about half the faculty are using it to some degree. While the elementary schools that have not touched it yet. And most of their online VLE type stuff has been very minimal. It's just been a single page posting of what's to come up for the week or something along those lines. And to them, they haven't really got into it. They used to have a web page that displayed that, and we're sort of reevaluating, I suppose, what's going to be happening at the elementary divisions, but hey, then that's not my cup of tea, so I'm not too sure what they're going to be wanting.
One of the things StudyWiz has is all part of the same packet I did mention, StudyWiz, the primary interface. Are you primary?
No, I'm middle school.
Just so you know, it's there. I mean, the same system, yeah. you only have one.
I don't know how much the primary is in Blackboard at our school. In the end.
So are you both from the same school?
No.
No. Which school?
I'm single primary school.
Okay.
So I've only been there for a month, so I'm kind of, I'm probably just curious.
Do you take
possibly it? Change? No.
So you use Moodle there?
No, Blackboard.
Blackboard, oh yeah, Blackboard. Of course. It's actually, do you know International School Singapore?
I don't know, but I mean, that I'm sure there's some.
Yeah, they're the one that's just moved over from, or currently migrating from
yeah,
Blackboard.
Yeah, they're doing both.
A lot
right
of
now.
It was down to the price. So, even
yeah.
with paying for us and them and Blackboard at the same year, they'll save money in the second year.
I was just shocked at, you know, 3 years ago I was at Taipei American School and was really involved with Blackboard and helped put that in because we dealt with SARS and we needed
yep.
something, and that was at the time the quickest, but did a ton of training. I was technology then,
yep.
and so I've been away from it, went away 3 years, came back to it. I was shocked that it looked the same as it did 4 years ago,
yeah.
5 years ago. It's the same interface, everything, 6 years ago.
It's a bit clunky too.
And the money that I know they charge, I'm just, I'm appalled. I really am. I think that they're doing, and they take. I know they've taken over, and I'm using it.
Our market capital is about 100 times less than, or more than 100 times less than Blackboard. And to think that our product has developed more product features in 3 months than Blackboard have in 10 years is.
I'm just like I said, I'm shocked.
Well, they try to use the paper recently to try and shut down all the other systems.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's, I think that's a classic example as to why patents are a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it allows, you know, it stops people developing
the
technologies that are
it's
crazy.
Not, yeah, they need to forget that. So.
Which school do you go?
Jakarta International.
Did you pass your test? Okay. You know Tsunamis, the new Tsunamis school?
Yeah.
Just opened this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Snobbish yeah. World School. Yeah, it's sort of a international local partnership. It was our first.
We used to have three international schools there 16 years ago. We've now got, must be about 30. Yeah.
It actually makes sense now that the Google's working quite well because. The only places I've really seen very successful like school-wide movement implementations are countries like Philippines, Indonesia, Malaysia, where you can get tech supported at a decent price. So you can have a lot of,
mm-hmm.
you can have 4 or 5 feet on the ground, fairly sort of educated tech support people for a minimal.
We don't have that much even though our age. Okay, we don't have that much.
No?
And we could do it a lot more.
Hi.
Hello.
Todd Wallace, I'm from Canadian Academy in COVID. My tech director has asked me to come find out about StudyWiz because she was talking to Brian Lockwood and I think he filled her head full of all kinds of stories. So.
We kind of, do you know when the sessions are?
This one's over at 12:15, it's just open right now. But
is this a known conference?
Yes.
Yeah, we've just free form here,
yeah.
Anyway. And the internet's a bit slow, but it's better than during the session times. When,
I guess I have one other
yeah.
question. So I am more interested in content management and assessment and linking that to, okay, so the grade book is, I mean, there's a grade book, I'm assuming, or a way to...
We've actually, it's an interesting one. We've been, as we've grown, we essentially started off as being a learning management system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we had a best of breed sort of integration policy rather than necessarily trying to do everything ourselves.
as we've grown, as we've got a lot more investment on board, we're slowly sort of moving into all those areas. Where I was guessing the end game, which is not far off now, probably 3 to 6 months, is that you have your learning management system, you have your student management system, and you have your timetabling software. I would even think that maybe even that would start to go. But essentially, those are the three key sort of areas I think you'd, and possibly something like Atlas, but we're even moving into crypto mapping as well. What we've got coming out,
go ahead.
What we have going forward into 2009, we have one major release a year, normally to coincide with BETS in the UK. And there we'll be releasing things like the assessment reporting. We've got limited assessment reporting now, but the new assessment reporting will allow you to create reporting matrices for all resources you push out. So you have a discussion resource, you can put a competency versus grades matrix attached to that, which would then feed into a central collation of that information. It's an interesting one. We've had to build something which is broad enough to cope with IB, British education, essential learning programs in Australia,
standards,
and everything else.
Standards.
So it's a huge sort of.
And standard? I mean, are you looking at like standards in the US?
That's right. Yeah. So what we're doing is building a tool. A tool that's flexible enough so that the school themselves or an authority can create templates themselves to meet their reporting criteria. So they have to be free form. I mean, in Australia, we've got. The essential learners in Australia has, you know, a maximum of sort of 10 to 15 competencies against a grade of 1 to 15. So you've got a huge matrix there. And then in the UK, you've still got some schools using a simple A to E or, non-competency based thing. So the tool's got to be flexible enough for that. And it'll be self-editing, but you'll be able to lock down. So if you've got a set of key criteria that's statewide, you can lock it down so that the templates are non-editable. But if you've got a free form or sort of, the essential learning in Australia is very much based on, again, this activity covers this competency, and this competency. So you want to be able to stream that reporting matrix to those areas. Whereas at the time, with other areas, you might have the whole gamut and then tick off what's relevant at the time. So it's a big space, I guess, in terms of how.
But you're talking about that in that month.
Yeah, that is coming out. Iteration will be 9.4, which is January.
Okay, January. So that is coming out in
that
January.
That is coming out, yeah. So I don't think there's the primary, you primary school as well?
No, actually, I'm middle school and high school.
Okay, which? Oh, Taipei.
Oh, no,
Kobe,
Kobe.
Which is quite interesting. I used to live in Osaka for.
Oh, did you?
I lived in Osaka for 9 years, and I lived in Taichung for 2 years.
We're just gravitating.
It's all
right. Many years ago, how's Taiwan there?
I went for a visit this spring, so I haven't lived there for three years. I've been in India for 3 years.
Oh, look.
Yeah. Talk about getting your tech help that's you can design. You can get a database engineer pretty quick and easily from. And then actually the school had a great tech. They had eight, and this is a school of 700, had eight technicians in their tech office for a school of 700. It was a nice place.
What school is it?
Here in the school of Bombay. It's laptop school.
Bombay?
You don't know the Pidcocks, do you? I mean, I know there's probably only about 650,000 people at that school. But.
Oh, wait, no, American School of Bombay?
Yeah.
No, it's just 700.
Oh, really? Okay. Because I think that's where they ended up. Sheridan Pidcock was the mother and the kids were Greg.
Oh,
a
family.
Yeah.
They
came out of Lima.
So right now, though, your assessments are, so basically your content's there and do you have
assignments? Grade and comments, which are all sort of recorded.
And I like the idea where right now what you have is that you open the assignment, you can assess it, you close it, it saves back to the assignment. a kid, you can you leave comments as a teacher?
Yep.
And then the student can come back in and they can make comments? Or, I mean, can you do some, can you, is there some, like, feedback from the kid to reflect?
Yes,
or?
Yes, you can, there can be as many times. You can actually have the, you can have the student read, submit.
Yeah, yeah.
Situation
and so you
kept.
Wanted to reassess
yeah.
And,
yeah.
And,
yeah.
And
you can have a reflection
and
on the work, and you have a dialogue with the student from
you
that.
You can keep track, I mean, it all stays there, and you can keep track.
That's right, that's right, all your choices.
I guess there's one other question I might have, is that, okay, so you have a, there must be a grade book idea here. Can you explore?
There's not currently, what we have currently,
okay.
I mean, we will be getting a grade book, but
okay.
It's a science 9A.
Is this a teacher view here?
The views are all, this is a teacher view, but the views are all the same.
Oh, okay.
The teacher obviously has a more control, more
sure.
functionality in creating things as well. Essentially, the views are the same. The idea being that you, the peer support becomes easy, support
yes.
within school
Fair
becomes
enough.
Very easy.
The primary one then would be the one that would just be, that one's more restricted or?
Yeah, it's
yeah.
restricted and it's very easy, and it's, the icons are representative of the age, the appropriate, so age appropriate, so.
And you don't find that the elementary school teachers find that condescending when they have to use that interface?
They love it.
Yeah.
Well, they know that this isn't going to engage their kids.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's a nice little goal
for
child.
For their parents, anyway.
The parents would love
parents
three buttons, I know that.
Three
buttons,
yeah, right.
Yeah. But it really is about, a lot of teachers, a lot of students get very excited about technology, who like technology. It's really the ones that aren't so comfortable. And there is an idea. People think that because every kid has a mobile phone, that every kid, you know, likes to text or whatever else, that they're computer literate. A lot of them aren't. A lot of them still have problems with sort of basic things online. It's still quite a complex process often to go into a blog or a wiki. Or it's simple if you think that way and sort of program that way. But
and there's a lot of specialization too. You can be really, really good at typing text messages fast without ever having any
yeah.
sense of how to use a spreadsheet.
Yeah, yeah, that's right, that's right.
And vice versa.
You still got to keep it simple. So you come on here. You got science 9A. We've I don't like that being there. We've I've given a few people this to play around on.
So
every time I log into this, I
it looks a little different.
Yeah, that is essentially a landing page. It's one click from the front, and again, it's very important, I think, to have. I want this one to display.
So, do you have a demo that you can give us to look around?
I've got a demo site that you, with some content and,
okay.
and that sort of thing that I can. I feel nice for you.
Okay.
I can have your details and then I'll
okay.
forward something to you.
I've been looking for something that I just think it needs to be easier for the classroom teacher.
Yeah.
Now that I'm back in the classroom, I'm going. I have a stack of papers
simple.
To
it's
deal
really
with.
Really
what is
got
this?
It simple, yeah.
And simple.
Not only that, just a workflow, like
yeah.
the assigning
no.
multiple classes, like being able to share and collaborate with your resources rather than everyone having to make their own or
well,
making the process very complicated.
I'd like that feedback to be quick, and it should be with technology. I want to know the kids know it when they walk out the door.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't have laptops for every kid. I mean, that would be the ideal situation, but I do have a lab that I can go to every class period. But
yeah, this is the current student progress tab, which allows you to get a brief overview of what your students have done. It's just painfully, one of the problems we're having here is that
yeah.
it's easy to talk about study wizards, it's a bit hard to show it right now because the internet is, which is strange because I normally go in Australia, I have my 3G dongle, which is, it's not that fast, but study wizards isn't that heavy either.
Right, yeah.
So this must be running at about 10 kbps.
You're sharing this pretty widely, I think.
Yeah. Well, this is actually on the school ethernet.
Oh,
better.
So, are you currently using anything?
We're currently using almost everything. That's kind of the problem. We've got our school webpage is custom designed, but we're looking at the final site as a front end, and then there's the and then we're looking at we're using Moodle, and we've been using Moodle now 2 years as the learning management platform. We've got Apt Rubicon for the curriculum side and PowerSchool for student management and for grades. So we're getting some pretty good buy-in on Moodle, and of course, like a lot of schools, I think we have teachers that like to institutionalize things pretty quickly. So, bringing new platforms in every couple of years is a bit frustrating. But in something like this, it seems like you have a lot of overlap with something like Moodle.
It is Moodle. Yeah. It's a fully supported K-12 version of Moodle.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a lot less clunky, a lot easier to use, a lot more engaging for students. It's push-based rather than pull-based, so that everything's set up for the student and the teacher on the back end,
mm-hmm.
and the resources are pushed directly to that individual. So generally, it's easier to use. Obviously, you don't have any support issues. I was the person who was just here before using Jakarta. I mean, one of the advantages you have in a country like Jakarta, India, even when you've got where you can get lots of cheap techies,
right,
to support these things, it's actually Moodle really is free when you're talking Jakarta or the Philippines, well, next to nothing.
Right.
Whereas any other country, once you obtain developed country wages for people to support and set it up, the loss, I would say, in functionality, or the loss in sort of enterprise solution cleanliness or finish,
mm-hmm.
And constant development that you don't have to worry about, that you don't have to import or set up or whatever else, is lost.
Right.
So you lose that advantage that you might otherwise have. And it's quite ironic, everyone goes around saying Moodle's free, but every school I know in Australia that uses Moodle is free and uses it properly pays a bunch of support people to look after it.
Right.
So, back to your assessment, what you have with the assignments.
Yes.
Okay.
So you have
these are all listed with grades or the actual, this was an assignment, so when you take tests, the system comes with a black and white testing facility, so multiple choice, your answer, matching, that kind of thing.
Does it allow you to import text-based, like Blackboard used to let you create in a certain tab, delimited way, and import into creating a test easily? I don't think Blackboard allows you to do it anymore. But can you do that outside of?
We've got an assessment piece that's based on QTI testing standard.
It's on
QTI, which is an international standard for question test interoperability. So basically what it means is you can use other tools out there and you can create it yourself with a text file or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and import the data that way. So
you can, Blackboard.
That's an option.
Yeah, Blackboard at the beginning let you do that, but they don't let you do that now.
Not even if you pay for the...
Oh, no, I'm sure, well, okay. Yeah. If you gave the extra $35,000.
35,000. So
I have no idea what it is.
Well, I mean, I'll say it was I was in Lima when we adopted Moodle, and then we got a deal through the State Department to take Blackboard in a consortium of 10 different schools, and the State Department picked up half the tab, and then the schools divided the rest of it, and then the State Department pulled out the next year. And so, it ended up being, a couple of schools dropped out, a few other ones picked up the slack, but it was, we were paying a pretty substantial amount of money.
Yeah.
And the frustration was that it was generally inferior to Moodle in the eyes of the teachers who were using it, and a lot of the students just found it a lot more difficult, and there's a lot of blocking. I mean, Moodle has it too, really. I mean, I think Moodle relies a lot more on, just straightforward HTML and things like that, but some of the modules, once you build a database in Moodle, it's really hard to strip the information out in a way that sort of would be, you could move it over to something like StudyWiz. But that's been something that's, I think, caused some reluctance to buy into learning management software for some people who went through that because it was so frustrating. I'm not saying.
Are you guys familiar with what's going on in the UK as learning platforms over there? The reason I ask is because one of the big changes that's happened there is there's a lot of push towards interoperability. You know, the government set a mandate. So in many respects, the UK is probably ahead of anywhere else in the world.
Like CIF compliance and things like that, they've been pushing really hard.
There's a whole suite of interoperability standards around Shibboleth, around CIF and so on that they're really pushing. Because they've said that, you know, by the end of this year, every school in the country should have access to a learning platform. You know, and they set up if you go and look at Vector.org, Vector is the British Education, whatever it's called, Technology Association. And, you know, they're sort of responsible for driving a lot of these standards. It's really worth checking out because it's exactly the sort of problem that you're talking about in terms of being able to move, you know, data and information from one system to another, so you're not locked in.
And recognizing that I'm talking to two company representatives.
Oh, sure.
How does StudyWiz work with that kind of standards and interoperability?
Sure. Well, first off, we're on the Vector framework as a preferred supplier. They were, to give you an idea of it, there were 110 companies trying to get onto this framework to be able to sell to schools in the UK without them having to go through a procurement process like the EU and so on. And to get on that list, you had to demonstrate things like, you know, compliance to international standards like SCORM, to IMS, to CIF and so on. So only 10 made it onto the list. And to give you a feel for it, Blackboard's not on the list, Moodle's not on the list, Microsoft's not on the list, so it's pretty interesting to see, who did actually get onto the list, and then also of these 10 suppliers who did get onto the list, how many are actually, you know, selling their learning platforms into the market over there.
StudyWiz is one of those.
Yes, which is why I'm talking about it, of course. We're now in the top three in the UK. We've got over 1,000 schools using the system, and they're really pushing all of the things that we've just been talking about in terms of interoperability, adaptability, and stuff like that. So to answer your question, we're fully on. One of the things that's not really obvious, every time you create something in StudyWiz, you can copy and paste it, you can put it onto your e-locker, right? I don't know if you've talked about e-lockers at all yet, but so let's say I'm a teacher and I've made a really cool test, you know, and I want to reuse it next year or next week. I put it on a media locker, and then I can, which is basically taking a copy of it and then reuse it. What it's actually doing behind the scenes, which you don't know, is it's actually serializing that resource, packaging up it as an IMS compliant XML package, and creating a zip file, putting the whole thing together, and putting it onto your e-locker. You can also extract it right out. You can pull it apart and rip it. So, and this works not only for tests, it works for every type of resource you create. And you can also do it with folders. So you can take an entire folder of stuff from a year or whatever, say, export it out, and you've got it all there.
What about taking other content management systems?
Well, we've got a set of tools. I mean, there's no panacea, there's no easy sort of magic fix, but we've got a set of tools that will help with bringing in content from Moodle, bringing in content from Blackboard and stuff like that.
Like you said, the school in Singapore now is doing
both. Migrating over from Blackboard.
So they're running both, and they're kind of looking at
personally think that you could do it pretty quickly, but they wanted to... They're actually implementing a one-to-one at the same time, so they want to overburden themselves with the transition.
I do know that, you know, people that have been with Blackboard have developed quite a bit of content on and migrate that over to the next year, and that everything's on there for them. But
one of the big things I try and push your study with is the fact that if you look at our history, if you look where we were a year ago, 2 years ago, where we are now, where we're going to be. Some of the things Jeff just pulled out was iPod, I should say.
Yes.
A few weeks ago that I'd never seen before. StudyWiz is on a huge, rapid development path, and you get all of the upgrades with the product as you move forward. You're buying into a dynamic system where, as something becomes available, you have the option of deploying it on your system. Just that in itself should give people the confidence that you're moving to StudyWiz. You're moving to something that's going to be around in the future, and you're moving to something which is constantly developing. Whereas I think most people will be pretty sure that you're, with Blackboard, you're making content for a system that in the not-too-distant future will be redundant. But even if they rebuild it from scratch, you might still have to migrate over from your old company.
Probably Blackboard's got, I mean, not on the back, Blackboard, but...
You can go ahead.
Yeah, you can tell, I'm not sold.
The problem they've got is they started in higher ed, you know, haven't moved. I mean, the bulk of their customers are higher ed space. I've never got things to happily say, and it's my company, so I know what I'm talking about. We've never lost the Blackboard, like, you know, going head-to-head against them when we sold them to school. You know, we've never gone up, you know, bit like a new customer saying, okay, I'd like to buy studies or Blackboard, which one am I going to look at? You know, and, you know, we've never lost them. Simply because they don't have a K-12 Pro. You know, a lot of people are trying to adapt it and make it work in K-12. But, I mean, you look at things like the, I don't know if you've shown these guys the elementary interface, you know, and stuff like that, or, you know, there's a lot of sort of design philosophy stuff, you know, and it's not, you know, we weren't geniuses. We were just lucky, if you like, in that we started out, you know, in K-12. We started the first, the reason we built study was a group of primary schools in Hong Kong came to us and said they went away for teachers to stop queuing up the photocopier.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much how it started, you know. But the criteria was it had to be easy enough for the teachers to use and had to reflect their workflow.
One of the things too, I think, which it's only recently become apparent to me, but I think we've got to where we are. I mean, certainly in Australia, where we're an Australian company, actually the only non-European vector approved company as well. We had so much input from the UK, from the Blair government initiatives in the inner cities and things, that we really got a lot of our initiative from the country which was pushing this kind of thing the hardest over the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. And that's kind of given us a huge advantage in Australia, but I think even in many other places, because it's so competitive, there's so much money going into it. There's literally billions of dollars going into learning management systems.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of stuff.
It's,
I mean,
it's where we need to be.
Yeah,
I mean,
and that's where there's money is where there's development.
Well, it was pretty interesting for us. We were talking about this last night over a couple of years. You know, we're at the Web 2.0 conference, and everybody's talking about blogs, and it's like, yeah, that was like 3 years ago. You know, I mean. Logs are cool, we're not saying they're not cool, but you know,
on the very small part.
Move on. You know, think what's next?
It's just, yeah, it's just one tool. And I think my concern too has been I think technology should make the classroom teacher's life easier. And classroom teacher's responsibility is we still have to assess the kids, and whether it's they're doing it via blog or a meme or whatever, there's still content there that we have to assess.
Yeah.
And I want a place that kind of pushes it all together and pulls it into a place that they can see the kids learning. We're assessing the kids. Kids can see it. I mean, we can see a discussion board, but can a parent go on and say, well, yeah, my kid's really learning on this blog, I can tell, you know?
Yeah,
where is the assessment piece going to come
and
in?
And it's also, I mean, notice most of the speakers were American too.
Yeah.
And the focus, well, I know in Australia too, one of the things that concerns me is there's an awful lot of emphasis on personal growth.
Yeah.
And there's, in many schools I've been to, there's a complete de-emphasis on sort of maybe academic, on the academic side. And I think they do have to blend together.
Yeah.
You want that focus, you want the...
It's my job.
It's, unfortunately, at the end of the day, the client, i.e. the parent and the student,
yeah, they still have to have something.
Want to be able to get a good job and go on and progress in life. One of the things I'm showing you here, which I noticed in the presentation this morning, the opening, they were talking about, you know, someone put a conference session on uploading something to YouTube. This is our own YouTube inside StudyWiz. And this brings in a lot of things like duty of care as well. We push kids to all these different sites outside of StudyWiz or outside of the school. Blogs, areas with lots of advertising, maybe appropriate or not. And I think schools also have to start, a lot of them have started thinking that they have the same duty of care inside, in the web space as they do in the school space.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way you don't like to let strangers onto the site, what's the point of not letting strangers onto the site? And then sending kids through an exercise you set to an area that could be dangerous, could be predatory or anything else. And StudyWiz has a lot of, what StudyWiz does do is bring all these tools into the space. And again, that comes back to constant development. Something becomes available.
Yeah, we do a lot of work with Apple, particularly in the US, with in the state of Maine, which is the biggest one-to-one, of course. You know, and they've been using StudyWiz now for the last sort of year and a half. And it's it comes back to, I like the way the guys from Apple described it, it's about providing a safe sandbox, you know, for the kids to play in, basically.
A usable sandbox.
Yeah. But, you know, so you sort of set the walls that hold the sand in, but you don't tell them what they can do inside that.
Okay, so that's the key part, and you could, if, I mean, I don't know, I'm new, and of course, I'm in a huge school, and I don't know what's going on, but I just know, I've gone back into the classroom, and good for me to see
what's out there. Yeah.
Practice what I've been preaching, and I've been looking for something that's better than Blackboard, that you pulls it all together, and you sound like you're moving in that direction. If I wrote you, is Mark? You're Mark.
Yes, that's
okay.
Right.
If I wrote you and just asked for a demo access, and
absolutely,
just,
yeah.
You can do that.
And just on another note, I pass through Singapore about twice a month.
Okay.
Sometimes even more. So,
well,
so if you know, if anyone was interested
in looking at I don't know. I haven't even entered the conversation with the group I'm with, and that would be better for me to do.
I have actually. I've talked to a number of people. I talked to someone from SAS last year at this conference, and I've also at a few other conferences talked to different teachers who aren't decision makers. And there seems to be a lot of people crying out for.
Yeah.
For something like this at SAS.
Yeah.
But the director of ICT is very much like, we're using Blackboard.
Yeah. Oh, it's a big animal.
Yeah.
I tell you, I don't know how you shift a school this size, and I don't think, you know.
It's one of the reasons
school,
we don't attack the university space, is that most universities, it's like no one wants to even think about it. Yeah.
LaSalle College in Singapore is using their stuff.
Which one?
LaSalle College.
Okay.
In higher ed, the Fine Arts College,
mm-hmm.
The great big $80 million campus they just built in Sim-Lim Square, just near there. And of course some of the other colleges that you probably mentioned, United World College in Southeast Asia. Who else is that in Singapore?
Oh, so UWC
in
Singapore,
yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, well. You're on my list. because I'm not happy with the Blackboard, and it's not doing well.
Well, UWC's here at the conference. They're presenting, they're presenting tomorrow as well.
With you?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
are they?
They're actually presenting the whole process they went through in terms of deciding on a learning management system and how they went about it and all the things. So, yeah,
okay.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you very much.
See you around later.
Thanks.
Sorry, I'm
Not at all. Now, did you have any specific areas that you were looking at?
Let me double check my instructions.
We haven't got a school in Japan yet. I'm very keen to get one. I want an excuse to go there. And
well, we actually have an earlier version of it in Japanese, for what it's worth.
We do, yeah. We did have. You ever heard of Waseda University?
No, I haven't been in Japan all.
Okay, it's one of those. Like the Waseda University is one of the big. That's a bit like the Oxford of the Yale, the Yale or whatever.
Yeah.
Their teaching department actually.
Rhonda Carrier is our tech director, and she's been in touch with Brian Lockwood at Yokohama, and I know he was talking. He mentioned StudyWiz to her. We've been looking at a way to kind of update our website in terms and make it into more of a community portal rather than what it is right now, which is pretty much just a late stage web 1.0 billboard. We've been talking about Final Site as a potential portal for that kind of thing, but it doesn't have, I guess, some of the back-end stuff that might be useful, more usable for students and more usable for some of the sort of collaborative kind of work.
Yeah.
That and then Brian mentioned StudyWiz. He mentioned StudyWiz as kind of a nice complement to something like Final Site, where you have Final Site for the front and StudyWiz.
Well, we do actually
have
all the solution as well. It's just on the front, which is a similar sort of thing.
I thought you might, based on the way
it's an extra. It's an optional extra, which basically creates your UWC has it.
Mm-hmm.
It offers the whole. You know,
you don't know what
it is in Singapore.
Oh, okay, no,
no. They're set to be the largest international school in the world. They currently have 3,500 students.
I'm sorry. Because we were actually, their name came up when we were looking for jobs last time.
So the portals are self-editing. You know, web portal's got the public area. You've got your private area. You've got whatever areas you want to create. So you can create science areas, teacher areas within the portal, parent areas, and some of the new tools that actually are being sponsored by United Board College, like parent collaboration, capacity for parents themselves to have an area of the of study resource portal that they can edit to control sort of community groups outside of the system. Capacity for teachers to do teacher training as a student within the system as well.
Using the regular study.
So they, normally, if you're a teacher, you don't, and you take a test, the test results don't come up and that sort of thing. But we're developing a way of allowing a teacher to act as a student when they're having PE, that kind of thing.
But also being able to, the one of the reasons, because I mean, we've built content management systems for quite a number of years, even before we started working on StudyLens, and then every company's dog went off and started making content management systems, you know, for websites, you know, and the space got very crowded very quickly. And so we kind of stayed out of it for a long time, you know, and then it was people like UWC came to us and said, look, you know, we want a web content management system portal that we can use, but we want it to link in really tightly with StudyLens, so that the teachers don't have to reauthor stuff. You know, so if they've created a calendar, for example, about what's going on at the school, with the press of a button, they can bubble that up to the outside world. So they might be using it within the StudyLens environment, you know, between the students and the teachers and stuff. But click a button, and then hey, presto, it's now public. It's out facing, or it's within a, you know, an area of the portal that parents get by signing into, you know, those kind of things. So that's, I guess, really what drove us to expand out and drive the thing. And they've been, you know, really strong development partners with us as well on that front. So it's cool.
And also single-sided, obviously, that sort of thing.
Right.
Linking into all your web app sides of your student management system and that kind of thing. So people aren't, obviously, some of these without the reverse protocols, yeah. Yeah, it's not a real single sign-on, but it gives that illusion of having that complete one-stop shop for all of your school resources. So it just basically becomes the gateway to your school.
Yeah, and then that's the discussion that we're having right now, because like I said, we're such a Frankenstein of a network operation for all the different things that we offer up.
How many students do you have?
Only 800. It's not a huge school, but...
Whereabouts is the school?
Kobe.
Okay, good. Nice.
So we're just, you know, it's one of those things where we're building our capacity for doing sort of portal work and content management online and things like that, but at the same time building our plan for it while we do it. So something like StudyWiz seems like it fills a lot of the holes that we have, or at least streamlines them. Certainly that's been the frustration with Moodle, is that it's relatively straightforward, pretty much easy to learn, certainly by comparison to Blackboard, which a lot of the teachers are coming from. But underneath, yeah, we don't have outside help for it. So it's all handled by...
Well, that's the other thing. You're very reliant on certain people if you have Moodle or something.
Right.
And there's no... If you had a crisis with StudyWiz or the portal, you got a whole team of tech guys plus a whole team of engineers, of developers, that can come to the aid of the school, that situation. Whereas if you're internal, the resources you have are the only resources you have.
Yeah, that's been functional, but it's also been the reason why we've been basically essentially betaing this thing for 2 years now, and have been starting to open it up more and more to more teachers, but just sort of reluctantly.
Now, it's actually not a bad thing in fact, I think we find it's a really good thing if a school's been using Moodle for a couple of years first. Because what it does do is it generates the awareness of learning platforms in general, you know, and what you can do with them and that kind of stuff. In fact, we found quite a really big trend now, you know, 2 or 3 years ago in this kind of space in international schools, everybody was talking Moodle. You know?
This and all Learning 2.08 podcasts are released under a Creative Commons 3.0 share alike license. To learn more about the Learning 2.08 conference, visit our website at learning2cn.ning.com.